Good morning, Grinders. Welcome back to the Weekend Grind Podcast brought to you by Roto-Grinders. We're back, baby. Weekend Grind Crew. I'm Josh Sir Giant, as always, with my co-host, the Man Goat, Mr. Chalk, Travis Mangone. We're back from Nashville, man. Back into the swing of things here on the East Coast. Travis, how you doing today, man?
Good. Yeah, just excited to be back. Not officially in the swing of things again because the holidays and all, but I'm kind of excited to get back to some some normalness again in life.
Yeah. How was your Thanksgiving, man? Did you enjoy your turkey day?
Yeah, it was good. It wasn't bad. I don't know. I'm kind of getting sick of the turkey, though, man. It's okay. I'm not the biggest turkey fan, but all around, it was a fun day. Football was okay. Didn't go as planned. It wasn't a terrible day, but not the best. So just ready to move on from it and kind of get back to some normalness, like I said, with Nashville and then going with the holidays and family in town. Just kind of want to get back to a more daily schedule.
Man, I gotta say, I kept my streak alive. I've cashed every year for the last 5 years on Thanksgiving, and I kept it alive with Stafford too, man. I still absolutely smashed with Stafford in my lineup, so things really worked out well for me. That's like my favorite part of Thanksgiving now. Like, since I discovered DFS, man, playing DFS on Thanksgiving is one of my favorite parts of the day. Like, obviously, like, spending time with family, eating good food, coming from a nice New York Italian family, all the food's always great. And we ate until we couldn't even walk anymore, but yeah, I just definitely enjoyed the DFS, and I'm happy I did well, so that was great. But yeah, definitely now we should kind of just get back into the normalcy of things. It was really cool hanging out in Nashville, man. Unfortunately, you got stuck in the middle into a sandwich of me and Tip and Pick, man. Like, two absolute giants, man. 6'5", 6'6". We got Travis in the middle. Everyone's like, how short is Travis? He's not that short, guys. It's just that Tip and Pick and I are super tall. So,
Yeah, no, it was a good time out in Nashville. I had a lot of fun with you and everyone else out there. But yeah, you guys are way too tall. I mean, there's too many of you guys that are out there that are just really, really tall. I mean, Big T, Bears fan, you guys are all just giants.
Yeah, it was funny. We walked over to Jeremy because they had the draft live final and we were going to get shirts. So like me, Big T, Beer Makers fan, and Tip and Pit. We were all like walking over, right? And me and Big T are like, hey, we got big man problems. What's the biggest size you got? And of course, Jeremy had the 3X for us, so we were very thankful for that. Draft did an excellent job hosting their live final, their first live final officially as a company. So that was really cool to be a part of that. Definitely enjoyed that. Definitely check out Draft if you haven't already. It's a new, cool, different way to play DFS. You get kind of a snake draft feel out of it, and it's in a daily fantasy format. Definitely very cool. But yeah, it's kind of weird for me, man, trying to get back in the swing. Talking about getting the back of the swing of things, forget jet lag, man. I had car lag. I drove my way to Nashville and back like a maniac. Minus EV move, right, Travis?
Yes, that's what I told you. Minus EV move. You definitely have to fly, man. Next year, make sure to fly. My one friend has a rule like over like 4 hours, you got to fly. I mean, I think it's a little ridiculous, but I'm sort of in agreement, man. 14 hours is too much. You got to be flying for that one, in my opinion.
No, you're not wrong, dude. I definitely felt like the feeling of it afterwards. But one thing that was really cool at the event that I don't know if happened to you as much, but lots of people are coming over to me and just telling me what a great job we do here on the show, and they listen every day. A few fans that, wanted to take a couple of pictures with me, which was really cool. It's always awesome to hear good feedback and know that you guys are listening and really enjoying what we're doing, because Travis and I put a lot of work into these for you guys and all the work that we do, all the content work we do. So it's always good to be appreciated. I'm sure, Travis, you got some compliments at the party too for the show, right?
Yeah, definitely got some and was happy to hear that, and just excited to keep delivering some more weekend grind for everyone.
Yeah, for sure. So speaking of which, hearing feedback and love what you guys like, suggest things for the show or tell us what you like. Even if you don't like something, that's cool too. Let us know. We're always open to adjusting things. We want you guys to really enjoy this experience. We know that on the weekend for you guys, when you wake up and listen to this, this is your first stop to getting into your DFS research session. So we want to make this as enjoyable as possible for you. So go ahead, give us both a follow on Twitter if you haven't already. It's the best way to get in touch with us. You can follow me at Real Joshua Giant. You can follow Travis at Travis Mangone. That's at Travis, MANGONE. Feel free to shoot over any comments, questions, suggestions, whatever you guys want to talk about. We're there, and we love interacting with you guys. But let's do what we came here to do, man. We came here to break down the 10-game NBA slate for you on Saturday, November 25th. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to get you guys prepped. Travis, you ready to hop into these games?
Yeah, man, let's get started.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, the first game on the slate, I'm in Philadelphia right now. I'm going to be courtside for the Magic and Sixers game tomorrow. So this game, super excited for, and that's the first game we're going to cover. We've got Orlando at the 76ers. As I mentioned, the over-under currently at 220, four-point spread in favor of Philadelphia at home favorite. Pushing up to 5 on some sites here for the spread. So we'll just say 5-point favorite for Philadelphia. 220 is the over-under. Big news and notes from this game is that Ben Simmons will be out for, day-to-day for now, but he's out for this game for sure with an elbow injury, which kind of opens up usage other places. Travis, where are we looking at in this game here?
Yeah, so Ben Simmons won't be playing, so it's like Joel Embiid like instantly becomes the guy, right? Like all that usage goes to him. There, he's seeing a ton. I know he's expensive, but he's the guy I want to pay for on the slate. He's just seeing massive usage bump. I believe it's like 38% or something like that, and like averaging I think like 1.66 fantasy points per minute. Don't quote me on it, but somewhere around there. I mean, just an insane amount of usage he's going to see for 9,900. I'm going to get exposure to him. And then, there's just a ton of value all around. Like, even like a guy like Covington, he'll get a little bit of a bump, but just in this type of game environment fits him very well, right? The up and down like tempo of the game, it just fits him perfectly. You get the fifth and sixth fastest paced teams in the league, 220 total. I mean, this is just the perfect spot for Covington, to have a ton of upside here. So I like that in tournaments a lot. TJ McConnell is just going to be like a screaming value, I feel like, on this slate now for $4,000. I think you have to get some exposure to him for sure. Guy like JJ Redick too, with a little bit of revenge. The team who drafted him to be getting up some shots. The only thing I worry about with him is without a guy like Simmons, a really good ball handler who gets him open for some easy jumpers, that might have him struggle a little bit. So he's not a guy that I'm in love with, but there's other guys that I'm more fans of, like Embiid and McConnell. One last guy that I think is interesting, obviously, with Simmons out, they're going to slide in Dario Saric. He'll get a decent usage bump there too, and he'll probably see more minutes than he has been. He's been seen in like the mid-20s most of the year, sometimes creeping into the 30s. I feel like he'll get into the 30s this game though, so he's someone to have consideration in too. Also, one last guy, he actually averages 1.24 fantasy points per minute in like 60 minutes of time with no Simmons on the court when using the rotor on his court IQ. It's Amir Johnson, which is like really strange to think. Again, he's not a guy that I would have like thought that or think of that, oh, I'd play with him with Simmons out, but he's someone I think you have to consider and just kind of like see what happens with, with news going up, leading up to lineup lock. He might be in consideration, but again, he's not a guy that I'm super in love with. It's more the other guys I was discussing before, like McConnell and Embiid, who I just think are really, really interesting plays on the Sixers side.
Yeah, Embiid for sure is the guy. Does get a nice usage bump. 35.1% circumstantial usage rate with a 1.73 fantasy point per minute, according to the Roto Grinders Court IQ, when you get the circumstances right over there. So that's definitely huge. And Orlando, man, ranked 26th in the league at overall rebounding. There's going to be plenty of boards for Embiid. He should put on an absolute clinic. Love him on DraftKings, too, just because they award that double-double bonus, so you get the extra points for that. Covington is the next best guy for me, 22.6%. Circumstantial usage rate, 1.11 fantasy point per minute is there. But yeah, you mentioned Amir Johnson, and that stuck out to me too. Granted, the sample size for these for the situational changes here in usage and fantasy points per minute, it's kind of limited at 48.9 minutes. But still, it sounds like, looking at this, what it tells me is that they're going to try to compensate the front court a bit because of the lacking in that backcourt with Simmons gone. But Simmons is one of those like hybrid guys that can kind of just play the middle three positions. So I think that there's just going to be more usage to go around for everyone. Amir Johnson might be a part of that. I like him as a tournament flyer as well. So it sounds like we're pretty much on the same guys here, emphasizing Embiid and Covington and McConnell for value. Am I right about that with you?
Yeah, I think those three are the main guys. And then, obviously, Sarge, too. I want to sprinkle him in there, too. I think he's a guy that you can get exposure to as well. We talked about the Magic side of the ball real quick. So that's, a really interesting situation. It's guys that The Magic were 8-4 to start the year. Now they're on a 7-game losing streak. They're just really struggling. It was funny. They're playing better when they didn't have Elfrid Payton. Now with him back, I mean, they're just kind of like all jumbled and messed up. They don't know what they're doing, and their price tags were expensive, and now they're not. So I think we can get exposure to them, but it's one thing I worry about here. Like Vucevic, he's a guy who's historically killed the Sixers, kind of a team that traded him away and like quit on him early. But now this is Joel Embiid. Like, this is a guy I'm absolutely scared of now. Like, right, I don't want to be loading up on a guy like Vucevic against Embiid. So a little concern hit there. 6,700, I get it. Elfrid Payton, right? We want him in fast pacing. He's fine, but he's just, he's so unpredictable and it's so frustrating. So kind of going to stay away. I think Aaron Gordon could fit this well, though, with no Ben Simmons. You know, just the up-and-down pace of the game, I think, for 7,000. He'd be my favorite Magic player. And then Evan Fournier, you look at that price tag, you're like, oh, 6,100, that looks great for him. But Sixers are the best team in the league at defending three-pointers. So, that's where Evan Fournier's value really is, from the three-point line. So I'm going to stay away from a lot of these Magic guys. They just seem, like, really uncertain. And, you want to play guys from this 220 total. Just kind of frustrating where to kind of attack here. So for me, it's Aaron Gordon, and then the rest of them, maybe sprinkle them in and out, but I'm not like loving a ton of these guys. I wish I was, but it's kind of tough.
Yeah, it's definitely, I agree with you. Like, some of the price tags just seem trappy, and I think that on a 10-game slate, we don't really have to chase too much. Just to put it simply for you, like, I'm not considering any of these Magic guys in any of my cash games. If I was going to sprinkle anyone into tournaments from the Magic, might be Vucevic or like Fournier at that low price tag, but just not going to go crazy. And Gordon, like you said, fits kind of the game script pretty well, to where he might be a nice, like, pivot off on this game towards, just to get some Orlando exposure. Maybe Gordon is the guy to go. But outside of those three guys, I mean, and that's just like literally, like, if I was making 10 lineups, maybe I'd have one that sprinkled those guys in at best. So, just to keep it, keep it short and sweet, I'll be targeting Philly in this game, probably not Orlando. How about you?
Yeah, I think that's a fine approach you can take too. So, nothing else on this game. What's the next game on the slate, Josh?
All right, let's look at the Portland Trail Blazers in Washington against the Wizards. Current over under is 206, 5.5 point spread in favor Washington. Wizards are the home favorites on this slate. This is going to be an interesting point guard matchup to watch, man. We get to see Lillard versus Wall, if Wall plays. I know that he was questionable earlier in the day. I'm not sure if any new news broke since then. Doesn't look like it has, but if we get to see a Wall versus Lillard showdown, this should be interesting to watch. Travis, give me your take on this game here.
Yeah, so that's like what I typically would think, Josh. Like, I was like, oh, if this was last year, like, we'd be all in on this matchup. But I don't know. The more and more I've like looked into it, I kind of think this is a game where I'm staying away unless John Wall does sit. Like, both these teams, like, they're not like super fast paced teams. Like, defensive wise, the Blazers are really good this year. Defensively, they're one of the better defensive efficiency teams in the league. They're ranked number two in the league. This is just not like the most appealing game when you look at like a lot of the numbers. So it's only a 205 total. Blazers are already under. Blazers are like 5-point underdogs. There's already like a lot of guards on this slate that I think I'm gonna be like paying down for. So I don't know. It's like, and even there's even a guard at the same price range as Lillard and Wall too that I have more interest in. So for me, I'm just really staying away from guys like Lillard and Wall. If Wall sits, right, I'm gonna have interest in Tim Frazier. He'll get a little revenge and against his former buddies in Portland who kind of helped him out in his career. So he's like playing against them in the past. So I would assume he'd kind of get up for this one, playing against those guys, because he's a good friend with Lillard. On top of that, just like Bradley Beal then and like Otto Porter, they would get nice bumps if Wall was out on usage, and I'd probably have exposure to them. But if Wall plays, I'm really not that interested in this game. Again, if this was like last year, I probably would be, but like Trailblazers are really a lot different this year than in the past, and they also just don't have that many appealing options besides Lillard and McCollum. Like, Nurkic is really up and down. Aminu's out right now. We know the Wizards really struggle against small forwards, but the problem I have with that is, which small forward am I playing? I mean, it's just kind of a disaster. Like, the small forward position is just really frustrating in Portland. So for me, I think if Wall plays, I'm staying away from this game. And then if not, like, I think it's fine. If Wall doesn't play, then, get exposure to some of these guys for value. They're getting the usage bump. And, I won't talk anyone out of playing Lillard. Like, I get it. Lillard, is a guy that can go off on any slate, right? But I'm not super interested in this game, actually.
Yeah, when I saw the 206 over under, I thought maybe I was, like, seeing it wrong. Because you expect Portland to be terrible at defense. You expect Washington to be pace up with lots of offense and possessions. But when you look into the stats this year, both these teams have drastically improved defensively. And they've drastically improved on really having those efficient possessions where they don't turn the ball over as much. And they also don't give up as many points per game anymore. So, like you said, last season this would be a game we'd probably jump all over and even suggest a game stack perhaps. But I feel like on this slate, right here with 10 games, this is a game I kind of have very little interest in unless John Wall sits. So that's probably where I stand too. I mean, maybe you could take a shot on like Evan Turner for value just because Washington is so bad against small forwards. But this is a guy who put up 16 DraftKings points in 34 minutes last game. So you can't really trust any of these guys to make matters worse. So for me, it's a pass on this game. If Wall is out, then we got to have a conversation about the value that opens up or the bumps that happen, you know, like Beal would get a huge bump. But for now, I think it's safe to say that we could kind of just avoid paying up from guys in this game on such a big slate. Would you agree with that take?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to assess the game.
All right, cool. So anything else you want to mention about this game before we move on to the next one?
Let's go on to the next one.
All right, another down-paced game. San Antonio Spurs in Charlotte against the Hornets. Hornets absolutely played their hearts out last night, man. With Batum out, Jeremy Lamb had a huge game. You know, MKG showed up, Marvin Williams showed up. These guys played big against Cleveland. So we got a matchup now against the Spurs. What a tough, you know, going from the Cavs playing the Cavs, now you're playing the Spurs. Just, you know, interesting here for these guys. Kind of like a step up spot for them. And it's actually supposed to be a close game. While the over under is low at 203. It's a 1.5-point spread, and Charlotte's actually a favorite in this game over the Spurs. So we'll see. We'll see how this game pans out. We're going to look here at the injury report real quick to see if there's any updates. Batum, no news on Batum. And, yeah, so we're going to have to see how this game plays right now in this situation, especially with the Spurs still struggling without Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard and we'll see where this game goes. But, Travis, what do you think about this game? This game just kind of, for me, feels like a stay away, too.
Yeah, so, like, typically I would think that, like, first look. But, I don't know, the price tags are really appealing on these Hornets guys on DraftKings, specifically on FanDuel, I'd stay away. But, like, Dwight Howard at 6,700, a guy who's averaging 35 fantasy points a game this year for 6,700, I mean, that's kind of appealing. Jeremy Lamb, if there's no Nick Batum, for only 5,400, I mean, that's got some interest for me. You know, Kemba Walker's just a guy, you know, at home, you know, he's got the home road splits everyone loves to talk about. And just, you know, with no Batum, you know, obviously it's not the greatest matchup, but he could obviously have a good game. But he's only like 7,600 or so. I think there's interest you can have on the Hornets side of the ball. Mainly it's like Lamb and Howard just because they're underpriced. Even Mikey Gilchrist too, right? Like $4,000. Like we could easily see him go for a 30-point fantasy game with Batum out there. I mean, that's, you know, if he's not playing, that's just going to give him, you know, more secure minutes. And I get it, right? Mikey Gilchrist is not a guy we love the roster, but he's only $4,000. Playing like 36 minutes possibly. I mean, it's just intriguing. Again, you know, they're getting the Spurs discount, the slowest paced team in the league. I get it. It's not the most appealing game all around, but I think there's reason to have interest in the Hornets specifically on DraftKings. Talking about the Spurs side of the ball, I think the guy to really like is Kyle Anderson. He's just still cheap around the industry. And I think going, you know, big up pace game against the Hornets, who are the ninth paced team in the league, I think there's reason to have interest in a guy like Kyle Anderson. And LaMarcus Aldridge, he's fine, right? He's still cheaper too than he has been recently, and he's got a big usage and he's the guy when Leonard's out, but you know, not a guy I'm trying to go crazy with. Again, not the great game I love the most, but where I see guys underpriced, I don't hate kind of attacking that because of the value that we have here.
Yeah, and this is actually a rematch, and the last time that the Hornets played against the Spurs this season without Batum was out for that game. Jeremy Lamb put up 52 DraftKings points, 52.8, almost 53. So just something to keep in mind, if Batum is out, Lamb is definitely a great play. It just feels like a good spot for Lamb if Batum is out. He just, you know, gets all that usage, gets him up. Now, Dwight Howard was a guy I looked at as well initially, but then was a little discouraged when I looked at the rebounding numbers. I mean, he did okay, 38 DraftKings points in 31 minutes in their last matchup, but they're sixth best in the league at overall rebounding. They do a good job. at protecting the rim, the Spurs. So I'll probably stay away from Howard even at the depressed price tag. For me, like you said, MKG has that huge upside, that small price tag, but for me, it's going to be Lamb and MKG, and that's about it from this game. And I'm not really interested in the Spurs side of the ball. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, I mean, Lamb's my favorite guy right now. And then, like, I think there's reason to pick and choose some guys here and there, but nothing I'm getting crazy over.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to mention from this game?
No, that's it.
All right. We'll move on to the next game. We got the Raptors in Atlanta against the Hawks. Let's look at the over-under here. 211 is the over-under. Toronto is a 7-point road favorite in this game. Travis, where are we looking at this one, man?
Yeah, so not the you know not the not the not my favorite game all around. Like I'm never like down the roster Toronto guys. They're a team I'm just not a fan of really rostering a ton. But it's Atlanta, right? One of the worst teams in the league. Just a team we want to get exposure against. And we get a guy like DeMar DeRozan, who the Hawks are the worst team in the league at defending shooting guards. And DeMar DeRozan's that guy that I hate rostering. He's really frustrating. Just feels like all he does is score points and doesn't really get a ton of peripherals. But 8,200, I get it. It's an expensive price tag, but his recent games, 32.5, 58, 41.5, and 48.75. Not, you know, he's shown some upside. You know, he's the time you want to play him is when he's hot and when he's shooting a ton of shots. A game against Atlanta, I think this is the spot where I might get exposure to DeMar DeRozan here. I just think it's an interesting way to go. Kyle Lowry, he's 7,700. Coming off a game where he had 52 fantasy points against the Knicks. Again, I think he's fine, but the cards I'd rather play on this slate. Talking about some of these other guys, like, Serge Ibaka, he's only 4,900. Hawks are not good against big men. I think he's a fine option that has upside, but I don't know if I'm going to go crazy over him here on this slate. Again, the Raptors are kind of a frustrating roster all around, so I think I'm just going to keep it simple and stick to just DeMar DeRozan as the main guy I look at. On the Hawks side of the ball, I mean, there's guys to like, right? John Collins, since he's been starting, I mean, he's been putting up massive games, 39.5, 35.25 in his last two games since he's starting. He's only 5,200. I mean, this is a guy I think you got to be getting exposure to. He's an elite play in your cash games tournaments. I think he's a guy you have to like. Today he struggled a little bit. He had I think 22 it was against the Knicks, so that was obviously a performance he struggled in, but for 5,200, he didn't burn you completely, so he's a guy you still want to play here on this spot. Dennis Schroeder, right? He's only 6,700. Again, another one of these point guards like that you have to have interest in here. Toronto, they're a team that I'm not like, I don't try to target Toronto point guards, but Dennis Schroeder leads the league in touches. I mean, he's so much usage for this team. Chucks up so many shots. Had a great game the other day. I think he had like 44 points last night. Just read his game logs. I mean, he's just such a safe play at 6,700. 34.75, 34.25, 43, 31.5, 23, 21.25, 42, 39, 43. I mean, he's just such a safe. Most touches in the league. Like, I love Schroeder here in this spot. He's someone I'm interested in. Guys like Bazemore and Prince, where they're in like the mid 5,000s. I think they're fine plays. They have upside from here and there. They can have huge games, but this is not a familiar game. But going crazy with Hawks for me, it's meaning like Schroeder and Collins are the two guys I really like.
Yeah, I think for me, you narrowed it down perfectly. We share a lot of the same thoughts. It's going to be Schroeder and Collins for me. Collins could have had a much bigger night last night, and it just didn't work out that way, but I think that he'll bounce back here. It's a good spot against Toronto and their thin front court right now. They're trying to figure things out. So with CJ Miles is supposed to be out and Babbitt's still supposed to be out. If we put that together, does that give us some interest in maybe Norman Powell as a value play? Atlanta ranks 27th in the league at defending opposing shooting guards, and Powell is just kind of, getting the minutes and working his way back up here. This could be a good matchup for him to solidify himself, and he's still super dirt cheap across the board. He's still just 3,900 on DraftKings, and on FanDuel, you get him for pretty cheap too. I'm pretty sure he's under 4K over there. 3,800 over there as well. So any interest in Norman Powell as a value play?
Yeah, I mean, if Miles doesn't play, sure. I mean, it makes some sense, but not a guy I'm going crazy over. I also think it's a 10-game slate, and there's better value plays already. So I don't think I need to be playing Powell, but, again, I'd rather just play, like, McConnell for the same price tag at a different position, and I think it's a play I'd rather just prefer. And I don't know if I'm really spend down at small forward like that today instead. Maybe more so live in the mid-tier on some of these other options.
Yeah, for sure. All right, anything else you want to mention here in this game?
Nope. On to the next one.
On to the next one on this Big Ten game slate here on Saturday. We have the New York Knicks in Houston against the Rockets. Knicks-Rockets game here. And this game will be played, like I said, in Houston. Over-under is 218.5. Houston, a huge, heavy-handed home favorite. 13 points is the spread in favor of Houston. Travis, big over-under here. Kind of big spread to come with it. So there is some blowout potential. Where are you targeting it in this game here?
Yeah, so, man, the Knicks are terrible, right? Like, they just lost to the Hawks by 13 points. Definitely a really frustrating team all around. You know, Cantor sat yesterday, so we have some uncertainty there. Porzingis is the guy that's my favorite, right? Like, 8,600 is just way too cheap for him. No matter if Cantor plays or doesn't play, like, you got to have exposure to him, I feel like, on this slate. People will probably be scared to go back to the Kyle O'Quinnwell if Cantor sits, but I mean, he was in a great spot yesterday. I think this is another good spot. You can, you know, play him in for cheap. I don't hate him here. Definitely a guy you want to, you know, have some interest in. If Cantor does sit too, I mean, even if he doesn't sit, like Tim Hardaway Jr., right? He fits this game environment very well, very up and down paced game. Not expecting tons of great defense from a guy like James Harden too. I mean, Hardaway Jr. should be in a pretty good spot here, but I do worry about the blowout. Definitely has me concerned when we're talking about the Knicks here. Even a guy like Courtney Lee, I think you'd sprinkle in throughout the lineups, but you know, Porzingis is probably the guy I really want to look for. But again, I'm definitely worried about the blowout here because of what happened with the Hawks last night and how bad the Knicks are going against the best team in the Western Conference. I'd be concerned.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting spot. I definitely think that Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to be my favorite play from this game. Absolutely fits the game environment. Courtney Lee has just been smashing, man. He's been stepping up and doing such a good job at getting aggressive offensively, and that's something that we're not used to seeing from him. He's still relatively cheap, 4,800 on DraftKings. And on FanDuel, I believe that he is under 5K still. No, a little bit over, 5,300, but still cheap. And, you know, he gets a good matchup here against Houston because they do rank 19th in the league at defending, opposing twos and threes here. So Courtney Lee might be a guy I'll have interested in tournaments, but Tim Hardaway Jr. is the guy that I really want to target on the Knicks side of the ball. I'm not really too interested in Porzingis here. Houston's been containing the hell out of power forwards all season. Actually, best in the league at defending power forwards. So, even with if Cantor's out again, I think I might go back to the well with Kyle O'Quinn, take another shot there. They did use Hernan Gomez a good amount, so that might be something to keep an eye on. If Hernan Gomez starts instead of O'Quinn, I'd probably just lean that direction. But one or the other, you know, they both get in foul trouble. That's the issue with them. They're good value, but they both get in foul trouble. I hope that Hernan Gomez starts because I would like to start him instead. But it's going to come down to who starts for me. And whoever the starter, you know, that gets named, whether it be O'Quinn or Hernan Gomez, that's the guy I want to try to get my lineup for value. Any interest there, Travis?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's fine. But, man, this is a game I wish was not. Like, I just wish the Knicks were not on the slate here. It feels like a really frustrating, tilting situation. And, you know, again, I think Porzingis is the guy just because of the price tag is cheap, and I get what you say with the matchup and whatnot, but Porzingis is one of those matchup-proof type of guys, you know, can easily explode for a massive game. And he's another dude that sometimes occasionally gets in foul trouble. Maybe this, like, game is one that he could too, but I don't know. I think that price tag is too appealing for me not to pass on here in this spot.
Yeah, Chris Paul is a guy that I think I'll target on the Houston side if I'm targeting anyone. Price is still down. Lots of upside, and gets a great matchup against the Knicks, who ranks 22nd in the league at defending opposing point guards. So Chris Paul is a guy I want, even if he's sliding over the two a little bit. I don't mind that. He's going to get a lot of work, and he's still underpriced. So Chris Paul, I remember the last time I saw him for 7,800 on DraftKings. So good spot to take advantage of it. Yeah, anyone else here in this game you want to mention before we move on to the next one?
Yeah, I mean, Chris Paul, I think he's fine too. Even like James Harden, if you have the money, I'm never going to be like, oh, don't pay for James Harden. But I don't know. I don't think I'll be going that route really paying for him. But if I do have the money, I like the idea of it. It's a high total. They should blow him out. I mean, James Harden should get a ton of points. So I think that makes some sense there, you know, especially with a guy like Eric Gordon questionable. If he doesn't play, like, that's going to give a nice boost to guys like Chris Paul and James Harden. So kind of have to wait on that news on Gordon to really kind of decide that. Also, Ryan Anderson, he's another guy that's currently questionable. So if he doesn't play, right, that'll give boosts to guys like PJ Tucker, Trevor Ariza. So there's things to wait on here in this matchup. And, you know, if he doesn't play, I think there's reasons to like those guys for cheap.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on to the next game. We got Boston and Indiana. Close game here. 207 is the over-under. 2-point spread, Boston. 2-point road favorites. Pretty much a pick 'em here in this spot. So, you know, interesting spot here. I think that there's a couple of guys here that we could target. The interesting thing for about Boston to me this season has been how well they've stuck together as a defensive unit. They're really, really putting up good defensive numbers here all across the board. Jaylen Brown is day to day, so we're not sure if he's going to play. Marcus Morris is definitely out for this game, so that's something to keep in mind too. Shane Larkin might, you know, questionable, and that's where we're at here with the injury report for this Boston game. Jaylen Brown, Marcus Morris, if they both sit, Marcus Morris is sitting for sure, but if Jaylen Brown sits too, we're going to have an interesting spot here, and there's going to be some usage to go around, so that's definitely something to keep an eye on. And Oladipo is day-to-day as well. If Oladipo sits, that opens up a lot of usage because he's been an absolute usage monster for the Pacers this season. Travis, where are we looking in this game? I feel like there's injuries everywhere, right?
Yeah. Injuries definitely monitor. Yeah, it's one of those days where it's like, I just feel like every game it's like, yeah, you got to kind of have to monitor this injury. So be on the lookout for that and wait throughout the day. So yeah, we have to monitor, you know, Oladipo and Jaylen Brown. If Jaylen Brown sits, right, we're going to, you know, we already have Marcus Morris not playing. I mean, that's just going to give Kyrie a huge usage bump. He's a guy that you're going to want to like to have. Marcus Morris, too, he gets a nice usage bump. Another guy that'll, you know, slide in and, you know, kind of play some more of the three guard, which obviously maybe give
No, Marcus Morris is out, Travis. I just said that.
No, sorry, I meant Marcus Smart. My bad. Marcus Smart, I meant. Slide in the three, not Marcus Morris. So, yeah, I mean, Marcus Smart, you want to get exposure to him then. Jason Tatum, he's been looking good recently. And, I mean, Tatum is then going to be like, I get he's already playing a ton of minutes and whatnot, but it's just a great matchup. 27th against power forwards for the Pacers. And then Horford, too, right? He gets the 2019 against center. So, like, Horford's got to have interest in him. Most of these guys, if Jaylen Brown sits, most of these Celtic stars I'm going to have interest in. And I think it's a good spot to load up on them. Talking about the Pacers side of the ball, if Oladipo sits, I mean, that's just a huge amount of usage you go around. And the sample isn't the greatest because he plays most of the minutes, so we don't really have the greatest amount of sample size to figure out what would happen. But I think Darren Collison is like a guy that's just going to see a huge bump, become the primary ball handler. You'll want to have interest in him. On top of that, a guy like Miles Turner averages a ton of fantasy points per minute. He's only 6,300 on DraftKings, which is just way too cheap for him. So I think I would get exposure to him here against the Celtics in a you know, considered close game. I don't know. It feels like the Pacers, you know, if Oladipo doesn't play, though, I'd be a little worried about the blowout factor. But Turner and Collison are my two favorite guys on the Pacers side of the ball. And then looking at the, you know, Celtics, you know, if Jaylen Brown sits, I mean, most of the starters are going to be in play. It's tough to decide which ones, but I definitely want to be getting exposure to them on my teams just because this team, man, no Gordon Hayward, no Marcus Morris, no Jaylen Brown possibly. Like, they are just down to the last couple guys where it's just they're going to be getting tons and tons of runs.
Yeah, for sure. Horford's the guy I think I want on the Boston side of the ball. Pacers ranked 22nd in the league at overall rebounding. Even with Turner back, they're just not protecting the rim very well, giving up a ton of boards, playing at a much higher pace than we're used to seeing you know, the Pacers play at. So this could be an interesting game here. I think this could be a bit of an up-paced game, and I just want to focus more on the front courts than anything else. So if Jaylen Brown's out, I'll like Tatum. I think Tatum will get extra work because he could play that 3 and 4 spot there. I think Thaddeus Young is also in play in this game. Like I said, do like these front courts a bit. So for me, it'll be like Tatum, Young, and Horford will be the guys I'm really targeting heavy from this game. And if Oladipo's out, man, opens up the door for a lot of things in the backcourt there for the Pacers with value. Depending on where things go, I think Len Stephenson could become an excellent value play if Oladipo's out. But outside of that, yeah, this is like really, really resting on the news for tomorrow. You know, it's majorly about the news tomorrow, this game, this slate. So make sure you keep an eye on the news. If you haven't, download the RotoGrinders DFS Alerts app or go to DFS Alerts on the website. But yeah, so I think this game is going to be mainly dictated by the injury news. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely gonna impact my decisions on that. So be on the lookout for that. But I think we broke it down pretty well.
All right, let's move on to the next game on the slate. We've got the New Orleans Pelicans and Golden State against the Warriors. Golden State here, the home favorites with a 13-point spread, heavy favorites. But 229 is the over-under, big over-under here in this game. So huge game total, Golden State, heavy favorites, as I mentioned. Travis, lots of fantasy goodness here. Depending, though, I mean, they sat Durant and Draymond Green last night, and Curry went absolutely bananas. What's going to happen here, Travis? Again, it's another thing where we have to wait on news, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, like, you would think that, but, like, Draymond Green and Kevin Durant are probably playing. I'm not worried at all about that. Expecting them to play just seems like one of those mandatory rest games. They're at home type of thing. They're able to do that, so I'm not worried about them not playing. I think they'll play. I expect, you know, 229 team total. This is definitely a game where you're going to want to, you know, want to be loading up on a ton of guys from this. The problem is like, where are you going to spend, right? Another reason why I don't think you're spending for guys like Damian Lillard, you know, like, just doesn't make sense to be spending on him today, because we have guys like Kevin Durant, you know, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins. Like, these guys are all in really interesting spots. We got Rondo as a cheap point guard value play. You know, guys like Drew Holiday. I mean, there's just tons of goodness around at the guard position today. So I think it's going to be, you know, obviously spots you want to pay up to. Like Kevin Durant, 9,500 is just really cheap for him. Pelicans are, you know, ranked like, I think, 28th or 27th against small forwards this year. I mean, I just don't know who's going to be able to really cover Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin, you know, Anthony Davis can try to, but like, you know, Kevin Durant is just too quick for him, right? Definitely could cause him some problems. I get Anthony Davis is a fantastic player, but I don't know. I think that could just cause some fits for him a little bit. So I don't know. Kevin Durant just seems like the guy, you know, with him sitting too. Steph and Clay did a lot of the heavy lifting today too. It just feels like a really good Kevin Durant spot for his price tag at 9,500. I think Draymond Green will have a lot of defensive responsibilities against guys like Cousins and Davis. So expect him to be more focused on the defensive end. So wouldn't be, you know, loading up on him. But he's, again, one of those guys, 7,200. He can always go out for a massive game. Just predicting those games is tough. And this isn't the spot where I feel like is the best one. I more so like to target it where I think it's like the absolute smash spots. And this doesn't seem like one of those for me. And I think just on the Warriors side of ball, I'm just going to keep it simple, right? I already talked about all these guards that I already like. I'm not really going to go crazy with Steph and Clay. It's just going to be like Kevin Durant is where I really want on the Golden State side of the ball. And then the Pelicans, guys like Rondo, who are still cheap, and, you know, Davis and Boogie, who have just been phenomenal this year.
Yeah, well, these guys did play this season already, and all the Golden State guys put up smash numbers relatively. Like, Klay Thompson put up 45.5 DraftKings points in 36 minutes. Curry put up 45 DraftKings points in 35 minutes. Durant put up 50 DraftKings points in 35 minutes. So all these guys really did well, except for Draymond Green. You know, I mean, he did okay. Put up 30 DraftKings points in 34 minutes, averaged less than a fantasy point per minute. Going against the same Boogie and Davis, you know, Boogie and Brow front court. So that was, you know, those are definitely interesting numbers. Now, the X factor here is the fact that the Pelicans have Rajon Rondo now playing a full allotment of minutes. So that's the interesting part. They didn't have that earlier in the season when they played. And DeMarcus Cousins, man, has put up 68 DraftKings points in his last game against Golden State this season in just 32 minutes. So Boogie might be a guy that we want to target in tournaments because the upside is there. They didn't have the answer for him last time. And Brow put up 70 fantasy points in 40 minutes last time they faced Golden State. So both these guys, if they didn't have the answer for these guys last time out, I mean, I'm not sure if they're going to have the answer for them this time around. The question is, are you, you know, can you pay for both of them, or do you have to just pick one? And I think that's where it gets really difficult, right? This is like playing the Boogie or Brow game. So not really interested in anyone in the Pelicans backcourt outside of Rondo just because he's still cheap. I think he makes a fine tournament play. And even in cash, I think he could pay off that cheap price tag. But for me, it's going to be Durant and Klay Thompson on the Golden State side. And on the Pelican side, it's probably going to be Boogie, Brow, and Rondo for me, but mostly Rondo, and then I have to decide between Boogie and Brow. Travis, how do you handle the situation here?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think you kind of summed it up pretty well, and basically what I said was pretty similar. So I think that's the best way to approach it. And again, I didn't really mention Klay a ton, but I get it. I definitely can make some threes here on this spot, and he's one of the cheaper Warriors, so I get it. But to me, it's like KD, and again, I like obviously like Rondo's price tag throughout the industry, just too cheap in a spot against the Warriors. And then you know, pick between Boogie and Davis, and it's just a you know. it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like you can never really pick wrong. You either pick like the cheaper guy or the, where the position scarcity is. That's kind of the way I approach it.
Yep. Yep. All right. So let's move on from this game. We go to a game that has an over under that is 31 points lower than this last game. Full 31 points. 199 is the over under in this game. Oklahoma City Thunder in Dallas against the Mavericks. Thunder are the home favorite by 7 points on the spread. Ugh, this just feels like such a down-paced weak game. I don't know how much fantasy goodness is here. Travis, how do you feel about this game?
Yeah, so I think it's a fine game. It's not one I love, right? But, you know, Russell Westbrook is like, you know, I feel like he's just kind of like making it his, I don't know about making his team again, but he's like kind of just like taking it back over. Maybe it was part of the, you know, the Kevin Durant revenge or whatnot. And then, you know, against Reggie Jackson, who he's not a huge fan of. But, you know, obviously he had a big game against the Pelicans too the other day. I mean, I feel like he's just kind of like taking control of the team again and making it his. So he can go off any night, but I just don't think Westbrook's going to fit my construction. Never going to argue that if he's a good or, you know, bad play. He's always a guy that's in play. And especially now with what he's doing. He's a little priced up now again at 10,900. He's a guy that I was kind of rostering when he was below 10,000, and now that he's not, I just think there's other plays I'd rather play for, you know, I'd rather play Boogie Cousins for the same price tag as Westbrook. And there's just cheap value guards that I'm playing already, so I don't know. Westbrook's probably not going to make the cut for me. Guys like Anthony and George, like we know, Dallas struggles against the three-point lines. Like, you know, Anthony's the guy that you can obviously play. Just we're not scared of Dallas all around. So Anthony for 6,800, maybe I'll go with him, but And it kind of worries me a bit. I'm not really going crazy about all around. I think Dennis Smith Jr. for 5,400 is just still too cheap for that price tag. So on the Dallas side, I like him. Even Harrison Barnes, I think he's you know, not the greatest play, but he's shown some upside. And I've like overlooked him throughout this year. So I don't hate him. But again, this is not a game I'm really in love with. And forgot to mention on the Thunder side of the ball, I don't think he's a terrible option. But like we know how bad the we know how bad Dallas is against rebounding. Steven Adams is only 5,400. He can have good games. I think he's a guy that I might have some interest in. If he kind of could fit a tournament team of mine, I wouldn't hate it. But again, this is not a game I love. What about you, Josh?
Man, old man value is here and alive, man. Dirk Nowitzki has been putting up solid performances time after time again this season and just not getting any love or attention just because his minutes are, you know, a bit lower, dipping in the 20s now. But man, these price tags are just too cheap for him. 4,400 on DraftKings and on FanDuel, you know, you're getting him at 4,800. Love me some old man Dirk Nowitzki value on the slate, Travis. I'm gonna do it, man. I'm gonna take a time machine and play some Dirk value here. What do you think about that?
I mean, you can't argue with the game log and the price.
The matchup, man. Like Oklahoma, 24th in the league against opposing power forwards. They also rank 18th in the league at overall rebounding. And they struggle mightily against big men that could shoot the mid-range jumper and could shoot the outside jumper. And Dirk Nowitzki just fits this matchup so perfectly.
Yeah, but he's not a power forward anymore. Like he's a center. They're using him as a center. So I don't know. I'm not buying that as much. I do think there's obviously reasons he could struggle against the you know, guys like Steven Adams. Whatnot. I don't know. I haven't been playing him. I get it. Like, if you've been playing him, keep chasing it, keep going with it, like keep riding it out. I get it, but I'm not going to start jumping in, I think, on Dirk now. Maybe if I was making the team and he fit my last spot, maybe, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like a guy that I would, I'm going to be playing today on this slate.
All right, man. Suit yourself missing out on the old man value, but yeah, there's certainly, some plays that we could look at other than, Dirk. For value, but for to be honest, I'm just not going to chase any of these guys. The other guys I'd be interested in just have super inflated price tags or have a pretty tough matchup. So I'm going to stay away from the guys with difficult matchups and inflated price tags, since we'll have no shortage of better options on a 10-game slate. So that's about it for me in this game. Anyone else you want to mention here, Travis?
Now we can move on to the next one.
All right, second to last game, we got the Milwaukee Bucks in Utah against the Jazz. 200 is the over-under. It's a pick'em. Milwaukee, one-point road favorite. Some news and notes on this game here. We've got, you know, the Greek Freak trying to figure out what's going on with him. He, you know, doesn't look 100%, so we'll see what goes on over there. Henson is question. John Henson is questionable. Gary Payton is day to day. Dellavedova is day to day. Teletovic is out, and Jabari Parker is still out until February. So, Milwaukee, you know, big list there of injuries going on over there on their team, and Utah. Let's just take a quick run before we talk about them. Gobert still out. Joe Johnson still out, and Dante Exum still out. So, yeah, Travis. And again, two teams with injuries. So how do you target this one?
Oh, yeah. More injuries. So, yeah, Giannis is kind of like the frustrating part. Like, we do and don't know. Like, I mean, I don't know. It sounds like he's maybe going to play this game, but I really don't know, right? Like, I don't know where he could be ruled out. And if he is, I mean, don't be worried about this Jazz team. They're not the same Jazz team with Rudy Gobert out. I'm not scared about them on the defensive end. So if Giannis plays, I think you can play him, but I don't know if I'm going to pay that price tag for him. I feel like I would just stay away with him coming back from an injury. But if he doesn't play, right, like we have to have interest in guys like Middleton, have to have interest in guys like, Bledsoe, Brogdon. Like they're just, they're going to see massive games here and they're going to be really good value plays. So, I mean, I know they got priced up a little bit, but they're still in really good spots. So I think they're fine plays that you should, be getting exposure to if Giannis sits. Also with like John Henson, right? Like we don't know what's going to happen with him. If John Henson sits though, I mean, Thon Maker, he had 33 points last game against Phoenix. I would expect another, tons of run for him there. He had 33 minutes. I would expect him to get, very similar amount. If Giannis plays, I get that could cut into him a little bit. Maybe if Giannis plays some center, kind of help out, but I think Thon Maker at 3,900 would become an interesting play. Again, it's one of those things where you really have to wait on some injury news. Talking about the Utah side of the ball, we know that there's going to be no Gobert. You know, obviously he's out for a while. So we got Derek Favors, 6,100. I don't think he's a terrible play. Don't love how the price has gone up and up. He's starting to get to a point where I'm not, in love with rostering him. But I think for 6,100, he's still a fine play. Guys like Rodney Hood, Donovan Mitchell, they're just putting up so many shots. I think they're guys that you, should definitely have interested. We know we want to attack, Milwaukee at the wing. So those are two other guys that I think, we can be getting exposure to. So again, it's one of those spots where I really need to wait on the Giannis news to really make a final decision on what I'm going to do with this game. But it's kind of I think it's easy to kind of peg this game once we have the Giannis news, and it's something that we have to wait on.
Yeah, John Henson's actually probable now, just digging a little deeper into it. So that kind of puts a hit in the value of Thon Maker either way, man. Thon Maker did have a great showing, so maybe he earned some extra run. Putting up 16 points and 8 rebounds and 3 blocks before eventually fouling out in overtime. But yeah, Thon Maker was a guy that I really enjoyed getting to see play because the kid does have a lot of talent, just doesn't get the minutes. And with Henson back, it's probably going to hit his minutes either way. So I think this, I don't want to make any any analysis here until we figure out what's going on with Giannis, just because my decisions in this game are really going to hinge on the Greek Freak's availability. So make sure you give us a follow on Twitter so you can see where we end up going depending on that news. On the Utah side, I think, the boards open up a lot when Giannis isn't on the court. So that would open up more rebounds for guys like Favors to pick up. I would like Favors a lot if Greek Freak's out. Milwaukee's struggling real hard this season at rebound. 29th overall in rebounding, so really struggling hard on the boards. And, if the glass is open for a guy like Favors, I think he could do a lot of damage, especially at his price tag, still pretty cheap. And he's been getting extra runs since Gobert's been out. So if I was going to have any serious interest here, it's going to be in Derek Favors. And if Giannis is out, then we could probably just go to guys like Bledsoe and guys like Middleton maybe too. We'll get a bump. But I just want to wait on that news. I think this game really hinges on news. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely be pretty news driven. So just kind of wait on that. But I think we did a good enough job of, kind of breaking it down, without having the news.
All right, let's move on to the last game of the night. We've got the Los Angeles Clippers in Sacramento against the Kings. Travis, I'm rubbing my eyes trying to figure out if I'm seeing things. Are the Clippers just 4-point favorites over the Sacramento team?
Yeah, so I mean, 205 team total for this Clippers Kings game. They're only 4-point favorites, but I think there's reasons to be more encouraged. I thought this game would originally be like a really low total, maybe like at 195, but Kings looked a lot better the other day against the Lakers. I get it's the Lakers, but I don't know. I don't hate this spot for some of these Clippers guys like Lou Williams, 6,600. He's going to be the point guard basically right now going forward until we get Milos back from injury. It's just him and Austin Rivers are guys that are just going to be putting up a ton of shots, and we have to have interest in and have upside here. So I don't mind getting exposure to those two guys. They're very interesting plays. Blake Griffin has been a really frustrating roster. He's 8,800. I get it, right? Last game against Atlanta, 58.5. You know, he had 53.52 against Charlotte, but then it's 236.5. I mean, it's just like, seems like too wide of a range of outcomes. And I don't know. I just really don't want to pay for him on this slate. It's just been a really, really frustrating spot all around with the Clippers. The one guy I think is really, really interesting in tournaments is DeAndre Jordan for 6,800. I mean, we know how bad the Kings are against bigs. And again, that's a reason to like Blake, right? The Kings are terrible against big men. He obviously has upside in this spot. Someone to consider strongly, but like DeAndre Jordan, no one's going to own him. Everyone hates rostering him, and it's a spot against the Kings, who just struggle against big men. So I think DeAndre Jordan's a really interesting low-owned tournament play that you can target here in this spot. Also, Wesley Johnson, he's only 4K and has really been doing really, really well. And I don't think he's a terrible option as a value play as well if you want to get exposure to the Clippers that way with Danilo Gallinari out. Buddy Hield is back now for the Kings. So that's obviously going to, you know, muddy up the waters a little bit for this team. George Hill is a guy. He's only 4,200 still. And, you know, he struggled the game before that, only getting 5.25 points against the Lakers, which is abysmal. But, you know, the game before that against Denver, 34.25. There is upside here from him at 4,200. I think there's way better point guard value plays. So probably end up staying away from him, but I don't think he's a terrible option. Same with a guy like De'Aaron Fox, 4,700. He's a guy that seems sort of safe, but again, there's just way better value plays, so I'd rather pass. Don't love this Kings side of the ball. It's mainly the Clippers for me where I'm really trying to get my exposure to this game.
Yeah, that makes sense. For me, it's just targeting the front court. Like Wesley Johnson is definitely a tournament play, a great tournament play, has legitimate 10x upside on that price tag, so I really like him. Blake Griffin, I like him a lot. But DeAndre Jordan, like you said, we're going to get him at a much lower ownership than we should be able to get him at. And this is an excellent matchup against a very hobbled Sacramento front court. You know, Sacramento ranking 24th in the league defending opposing centers and dead last in the league at overall rebounding and dead last in the league at protecting the rim on second chance paint shots. So DeAndre Jordan is a guy that, you know, gets those second chance paint shots attempts a lot. And they do play that little hack of Jordan game, and he'll probably get some extra free throw opportunities. If this game stays close, man, DeAndre Jordan's going to be putting up some pretty massive rebound numbers. So he's pretty much a walking double-double in this matchup, and he's underpriced and underowned. So DeAndre Jordan's probably my favorite play. And then, like I said, I like Blake Griffin too and Wesley Johnson just for the upside in tournaments at that price tag. Not going to chase too deep into like the Lou Williams situation. His price has come up, so I'm not really interested too much in the backcourt. More frontcourt interest there. But anyone else here you want to mention, Travis?
Nah, I really think that's about it. Again, man, kind of a frustrating slate all around with all these injuries and whatnot. Not like not a million games that I love to target, but I think it's one of those days where we're going to have to be kind of glued to the glued to the TV, not TV, glued to the, computer all day and just kind of waiting on this news and really monitoring it.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So with that, we covered all the games on the slate. We're going to move on to the lock and load segment of this slate. The lock and load segment brought to you by the Roto-Grinders lineup builder. You go to lineup HQ too. If you click the lock on a player, it gives you 100% exposure. So Travis and I will be sharing which player we would want to get full exposure to on this slate. Travis, who's your lock and load play on the slate?
Yeah, so, my lock and load play, I mean, if Batum sits, I'm going to go with Jeremy Lamb. Like, if Batum sits, just, like, load up on him. He'll be in a great spot. But, like, you know, we obviously don't know if Batum's sitting for sure. So I'll give you also Rajon Rondo. I mean, just in this game environment, the up and down pace of the game, Rondo's only 5,100. The amount of minutes he's going to see, I mean, this is just a spot. You got to love Rondo. And I'm a big Rondo homer. I'm a Celtics fan, and I loved Rondo when, he was back there with Boston. So he's always got a special place in my heart. I know he hasn't been the greatest the past couple of years, but that price tag is just too cheap, and for the fantasy upside he can have too. So I'll give you two. I got you the Jeremy Lamb if Nick Batum doesn't play, but if not, I think Rondo, no matter what, is in a fantastic spot on this slate.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that. I'm going to go with my boy Embiid with Ben Simmons out, and I'm going to get to be there to see in person, so that's pretty awesome, right? But Yeah, Embiid is supposed, he's just going to go nuts, man. With the 35% usage rate and his 1.7 fantasy points per minute, he's just going to absolutely crush in the spot. And such a good matchup, too. So Embiid's my guy. He's my lock and low of the slate. As news breaks, I will give updates on Twitter, and so will Travis. So go ahead, give us both a follow on Twitter, at RealJoshuaGiant. Follow me. That's at RealJoshuaGiant. Follow Travis, at TravisMango, and at TravisMangone. But there you go. We covered the slate, gave you our locks and loads of the slate. Travis, anything else you want to mention before we sign out here?
No, yeah, that's about it. Just, you know, enjoy the slate and, you know, be ready for all the news, because it'll be, there should be a lot tomorrow, I'm sure.
Yes, follow the news, follow the news, follow the news. Get the DFS Alerts app from RotoGrinders, or follow the DFS Alerts on the homepage. Speaking of the homepage and content, Travis, are you covering the grind down for today too as well?
Yeah, yep. We'll be covering up the grind down. So we'll get that out as fast as possible. But you know, with the big slate and all the news coming, who knows? Just, man, a lot to look at.
Yeah, so make sure you check the grind down out, because Travis will be updating that. You know, working on that. So that's going to be definitely a good read. I'm looking forward to reading that myself. But with that, we will see you guys next weekend. The Weekend Grind Crew signing out. Josh Sergiant for my co-host, Travis Mangone. Peace.